All right, if you could turn to your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Is there a lapel mic? Or? First Samuel chapter 4, I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 22. And the title of the message is The Glory is Departed. It's a common passage. Let's go ahead and read it, and then I'm going to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. It says in the ark, or 11 through 22, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came to Eli, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, What meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings of the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for bringing us here tonight. I pray that you'd just give me the words to say, Lord, and I ask that you'd speak to hearts, and God, use me. And I pray, Lord, that you just use this message to touch someone's heart in spite of me, God. And I pray that you just bless this night in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture is very sad for the nation of Israel. They allowed themselves to be ruled by sin, and they had turned their back on God. And they were the people of God. And you get to the end of the verse, and it says, The glory of God is departed. And it's just sad to see that God's glory could depart from His own people. One second. The nation of Israel had turned their back on God. I read a story once of a man that visited Niagara Falls in the early spring, and he was there, and the ice had been breaking up on the river from winter time, and there was ice chunks flowing over the edge of the waterfall, and he looked closer, and he saw carcasses of fish embedded in the ice, and there were seagulls coming, trying to get to those carcasses of fish in the ice. And they would latch onto the ice and try to get it out. And just before the ice went over the edge of the waterfall, they would fly off. And he watched as one bird hung on longer than all the others and was trying to get the fish out of the ice, but he hung on too long. And the talons of the bird's talons had frozen into that chunk of ice. And as the ice went over the edge of the falls, so did the bird, and it ultimately died. And I read that story, and it just made me realize that sometimes we too hold on to our sin, just like that bird, and we don't realize that it's leading us to our death ultimately. And we read in the Bible that our sin, the wages of our sin is death, and I believe as Christians, if we're holding on to sin in our life, if we're hanging on to that sin, it'll ultimately lead to death. And it made me wonder, you know, if only we would hang on to the things of God, and if we would cling to the things of God like we would do our sin sometimes, what kind of Christians we would be like, if God would be glorified with our lives. the glory of God had departed from Israel. And so I want to look at a few different things. I want to see how this passage can relate to us as a church and also to us as individuals, as individual Christians. I want to show why the glory of God is important for us to have, why it's important for us to have a good testimony. And so first, I want to look at what is glory. And so I looked it up, and glory, it's simply defined as honor or splendor. It's majesty or gloriousness. And it's a testimony to others that you're different. It's a testimony to others. If you have glory in your life, it's a testimony to others that you're living for God and you're not living in sin. And God does not want us living in sin. Someone who is living for sin and for the things of this world, they're not glorifying God with their life. God wants to be glorified with our lives, and God wants to be glorified through our church. And there are two main types of glory. When we look in Scripture, we can see ascribed glory, or glory that is given to someone because of who they are or what they've done. I think of a king, an earthly king, has glory because of the things that he's done, or just because of his position, he has glory. And that's ascribed glory. It's glory that is given because of something you've done. But then there's inherent glory, and that's the glory that God has. God is glorious simply because of who he is. Because he is God, he is glorious. He doesn't have to have his glory ascribed to him by people. He is glorious. The nation of Israel lost their glory in this passage. It says the glory was departed from Israel. And they were the people of God, yet they still lost their glory. And why? It was because of their sin. It's because they're holding on to their sin. They turn their back on God. And so I want to look at why or how this applies to us as a church. And I just want to point out, it's important for us as a church to have a good testimony before other churches and before the lost. We need to have a good testimony towards others. And we can see throughout Scripture many examples of different churches that had a good testimony before others. If you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's important for a church to have a good testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Paul is writing to the Corinthians about the Macedonians, the church in Macedonia. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So we can see here that this church in Macedonia had a good testimony. Paul wrote about them to the Corinthians. Paul praised them for their good testimony and because of their faithfulness to God. We can see the disciples, they also had a good testimony to others, and they were able to see many saved and many others made into disciples. And then we can also see in Scripture the Berean church and how it's mentioned that they searched the Scriptures daily and how they were more noble because of this. And there's many other examples in Scripture of churches that had a good testimony. And I believe it's important that we have a good testimony. And I'm so thankful that I'm part of this church. I believe this church has a good testimony in this community. And I mean, we've seen that recently. I read the article in the news about the man that came here and wrote an article about our church. And that was encouraging to me to see that I belong to a church that has a good testimony in its neighborhood. And someone else wrote about it, and simply because of our church's testimony, others heard about this church and they never would have before. But because we had a good testimony, others heard about our church. And it's important for a church to have a good testimony. It's important for a church to have a good testimony to spread the gospel effectively. And that's talking about glory and glorifying God. That's the most glorious thing I believe a church could do, is to reach out and to see souls saved. That's one of the main responsibilities of the church, is to see the lost saved and to disciple them. If you could turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're compared to salt and light as a church. And if we're not living for God, if we have a bad testimony as a church, we won't be that salt and light that we should be. And we won't be able to see souls saved. The gospel will not be spread effectively if there is sin in a church. If a church has sin that is not being dealt with, that church will not be effective for God. That church will not be the salt and light in their community that they need to be. If a church is to have a good testimony, and if a church is to glorify God, they need to have unity. Unity is vital for a church if it's going to flourish and to have impact in its community. And I believe our church has a godly testimony in this state and around this country, and I'm thankful for that. And to maintain that, we need to have a godly testimony, and we need to make sure our priorities are exalting God and making sure God is the number one, making sure that God is our main focus as a church. We need to make sure that we're lifting up God and making sure we're following God and obeying God with our lives as a church. And so we've seen how this applies to the church, and now I want to look at how this applies to us as individuals and as Christians. Not only should a church have a good testimony, but the Christian should as well. And God is not glorified with a Christian that's acting like the world. Just as so many churches today are compromising on their standards, they're becoming more like the world to reach the world, and God is not happy with that. I don't believe God wants a church or an individual to become more like the world to reach them. I believe God has called us to be distinct as Christians from the world. And just like churches that compromise, so many times Christians compromise on their standards, and God is not glorified with that. As individual Christians, we make up the church body. We can see that through Scripture. As Christians, we're compared to members of one body. And if even one Christian in the church is living a sinful lifestyle, that can affect the entire church as a whole. I think sometimes we get this mentality that my sin doesn't affect anyone else. It's only affecting me. This sin is between me and me only. But in reality, our sin hurts the church as a whole. It hurts the church's effectiveness. It hurts our ability to reach others for Christ. Even if one person is living in sin and they're not dealing with that and they're turning their back on God, it's not glorifying to God to live in sin. It's like a Christian that is living in sin in the church, it's like a rotten apple that's in a barrel of fresh apples. If you place that rotten apple inside that barrel of fresh apples, that rotten apple will cause the others to become rotten quicker than normal. And we need to make sure that we are right with God and having a good testimony in our lives. We need to make sure that we're following God and living for Him and being obedient to Him, as was talked about this morning. And as an individual Christian, if you want to have an effective witness for Christ, then you must have a good testimony. Sin in our lives is not glorifying to God and only festers. And when we have sin in our lives, then we're serving sin and we're not living for God. It's harder and harder to get rid of that. When we're constantly going after the things of this world and living in sin, it'll be harder to get rid of that sin. And that's not glorifying to God. We lose our burden to see lost souls saved when our focus becomes on the things of this world, and when our focus becomes on our sin and not on godly things. Also, in God is glorified with our life and our testimony. When we're living a glorifying life for God, I believe we'll have clear direction in our life and in the path that God has for us in this life. When we're walking with God, it's easier to know what God has for us. When God's right there with us and we're walking with Him and we're following Him and obeying Him, we'll know what God wants for us to do with our life. So many people, and I believe so many Christians, will stumble along in this life not knowing what God wants for them. They just do what everyone else is doing, but God wants you to know what He wants you to do with your life. But we need to be living for God and following Him and fleeing from sin. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I believe as Christians we glorify God with our lives when we flee from sin and overcome temptations in our life. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." We all face temptation to sin as Christians. Just because someone is saved doesn't mean they're free from sin. It doesn't mean they're free from the temptation to sin. But we have the ability to overcome sin. And we can see that right here in this verse. And when we overcome that temptation through God's strength and not our own, God is glorified through that. No temptation that comes our way is impossible to overcome. Sometimes we get into this mentality that this sin is too hard and I can't get over it. It's something that will always control me and something that will always defeat me. But the Bible says we can overcome that temptation to sin, and I'm thankful for that. So we've seen how it applies to the church, and we've seen how it applies to the individual. And now I want to look at this idea of if you haven't been glorifying God with your life and you have been living for sin, how do you get back to God and how do you live for Him? What if you've been in sin and it seems like it's too much to overcome? It's too much. It'll cost you too much to get back to God. Well, if you haven't been glorifying God with your life and you've been living in sin, there is a way to get back to God. And we can see that in 1 John 1:9, if you could turn there. "I'm thankful that we serve a forgiving and a merciful God." So many times I've seen God's forgiveness in my life, and I'm very thankful for it. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we've been forgiven of our sin. When Christ died on the cross, He took our sins, past, present, and future, and He died for those. And He took our place in punishment for those, and we don't have to be defeated by our sin constantly. If you're not saved, you need to settle that tonight. The Bible tells us that Christ died for your sins, and if you haven't been saved, the Bible tells us that one day, if you're not saved, you'll end up in hell. If you have not asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, if you've not placed your faith in Christ alone, it's not works that saves you. It's not things that you do or going to church that saves you. It's the blood of Christ alone that saves men's souls. But what about a Christian that has sinned? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. First John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I like that word faithful. And God's mercy never runs out for the Christian that sins. God is always willing to forgive you if you simply come to Him in a humble attitude and ask for forgiveness. And I'm thankful for that. God is glorified when the backslidden Christian returns to serve Him again. And God is glorified when there's forgiveness in the church and when there's unity in the church and when unity is restored. Has the glory of God departed from your life? Have you been living in sin? We can see that God offers forgiveness if you'll simply come to Him. And God is glorified through that. And I believe as Christians, our ultimate purpose in this life is to glorify God with our lives. We need to glorify God with our lives, and that happens when we are right with God and when we're living for Him. And I believe as Christians, individually, when we're right with God, the church will also glorify God because the church is made up of individual Christians as members. And so we see our testimony is important as a church and as individuals. And when we have a bad testimony, God is not glorified. I look at this story that we read of the Israelites and how they had lost their glory. The glory of God had departed from them. It was because of their sin. It was because they turned their back on God and they no longer served Him. And when you read the story, they go up against the Philistines and they ask to, and they're losing, and so they blame God for it and they ask to bring the ark. And I believe they're placing their faith not on God, but they're placing their faith on the object of the ark, but not the God that was present in the ark. And it's because they turned their back on God and they forsook God as their king. And that's why the glory of God departed. As a church and as individuals, we need to make sure that we're living for God, and we need to make sure that we don't have sin in our hearts that's not dealt with. And we need to make sure that we're glorifying God with our lives. God is glorified when there's unity in the church, and God is glorified when a Christian is living for Him, and when a backslidden Christian returns back to Him. And that's all I had for the message. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given us, God.